Well, hello there. You've downloaded the North by Northwest podcast for Saturday, the 5th of January. And on today's podcast, actually a conversation I had on the show just after Christmas with Birgit Piskor. She's a Victoria-based artist, and she had a life-changing experience in December 2011 that changed her life and changed her artwork. And my conversation with her on this podcast, also speaking of life-changing, TJ Daw is an actor, a performer, a director, a dramaturge, and his latest one-man show is called Medicine, and it's based on his life-changing moment on a shamanistic retreat supervised by Vancouver doctor Gabor Mate. Birgit Piskor is a sculptor who's based in Victoria. Her work is beautiful, undulating forms created from concrete. And despite the rigidity of the medium, her work has a real quality of movement and change inherent in it. It has an added dimension now, too, one of transition and transcendence. Ever since Birgit survived an almost unbelievable encounter with a giant gray whale off the coast of Baja in 2011. In fact, I recently spoke to Birgit on the exact anniversary, 1 year to the day, of her cosmic encounter. Good morning, Birgit.
Good morning, Cheryl.
So I'd love to know what's on your mind today as we are here speaking on the 27th of December, a very, very particular day for you.
Yes, indeed it is. I had gone down to the Baja last December, and part to, you know, escape the Victoria winter, but also in search of inspiration. I had just received a large multi-piece commission, and I absolutely love the Baja. The physical beauty is so extreme, you know, that confluence of ocean, desert, and mountains. I find that absolutely irresistible, so I got myself down there and ended up on the Pacific side at a fairly underdeveloped surfer beach called Los Cerritos. It's about an hour up from Cabo. And on the same property that I was staying on, there was a surfer named Perry Abador. And on the 27th of December, so a year ago today, he came up to me sort of mid-morning-ish, and he said, you know, the surf is low enough for us to get his double sea kayak out past it, and would I like to go do some whale watching? And so I thought, well, whale watching, that sounds fantastic. It's such an appropriate Baja thing to do, and there are thousands of grays down there passing by at that time of the year. Hmm. In fact, when you're sitting on the beach, I mean, it's amazing because you can just be looking out at the horizon, and within 5 or 10 minutes, you'll see evidence of whales, you know, usually the blowing, you know, so that vapor of spouting stuff. Yeah, it's incredible. There's so many of them there. So he went for a quick surf, and then he came back, and we grabbed our life jackets, and this is, like, I am so incredibly thankful that we had life jackets. I mean, really, always, always wear your life jackets when you're on the water, because that really is what probably saved me. So get the kayak out, and it's just one of those, it's a yellow, rigid plastic sit-on-board kayaks, and nothing, we weren't enclosed by anything at all. So get out past the surf, and it's just an absolutely gorgeous day. The ocean is quite calm, and there are just little wisps of cloud in the sky. And the whales are quite far out, so we're paddling further and further, and we're starting to have some really amazing sightings. I mean, breachings and blowings and that sort of thing. And I've never been on the water with gray whales before, and they are they're massive, and they're so incredibly beautiful. And while most of our sightings were at quite a respectful distance, there's a brief moment there where we were actually able to keep pace. There was a small pod of 4 or 5 whales, and they're just swimming along the surface, and we could see their backs undulating in and out of the water.
Oh, my heavens.
And it was amazing. We were paddling as hard as we could, and these, like, inarticulate primal vocalizations were coming out of us. It only lasted for like a minute or so, but it was just so exhilarating. It was incredible.
And did you ever feel, when you were getting that close in those little open-sided kayaks, did you ever feel any concern at all?
None at all. No, I mean, I don't, you know, I there was no fear at all in me. And it was a double kayak, so we were on one together. And normally, I would never, like, I'm not a kayaker, so normally I would never have ventured that far out into the ocean. We were at that point probably 2 miles offshore. Mm. And especially in water that's sharky. I mean, there are tiger sharks and hammerhead sharks in the water there. And I'm a bit of a fraidy cat about those sorts of things. Like, I like to keep fairly safe. But for some reason that day, it was just such a gorgeous day. I wasn't even thinking in terms of my own personal safety, you know. And so I guess it was probably about mid-afternoon at this point, and we were just sort of floating along, looking back at the shore, about to head back in. And we suddenly saw these two whales, and they were heading north. We could see their tails going in and out of the water. And I don't know what possessed Perry, but he was sitting behind me, and he reached under the waterline, and he made this squeaky sound on the edge of the kayak.
Uh-oh.
and the whales turned west. And we thought, aha, you know, they've obviously responded, so let's see if we can triangulate their position and get a really close sighting. And so we paddled really hard in the direction that we thought that they were going in, and then we stopped to wait to see what would happen. And I said to Perry, and this is just such a lesson in, like, be careful of what you wish for, what you utter, because words have incredible power, or so it seems, because I said to Perry, wouldn't it be cool if they came up right here? And, of course, in my mind, I'm seeing, you know, I'm thinking spy hopping, you know, how they do, and my mind is full of these images, like gentle, benign, you know, images of the grays floating underneath the pangas, and it's all peace and love and goodwill. And not 10 minutes later, the first whale breached to our left, maybe 20, 25 feet, like full body breach, completely out of the water, way, way too close, and we're instantly terrified, and we're screaming, and I'm reaching around to brace myself on the edges of the kayak for the wave that's coming as that whale re-enters the water. It was about a 5-foot wave or so, and I just didn't want to, like, be capsized, right? That was my immediate fear, was being capsized into this sharky water. And just as I'm doing that, the second whale breached directly in front of me, maybe 4 feet in front of me.
4 feet?
Oh, yeah, like, right absolutely in front of the kayak. And I am so thankful that the first whale breached when it did, because I was already in a heightened state. I mean, if that first whale had breached without that prior breaching, I probably would have had a heart attack and died. I mean, as it was, I was so confused, Cheryl. I mean, I could barely even comprehend what was happening. And I know, I mean, I've watched a lot of footage of whales breaching since that moment. And it happens very, very quickly. And so, and yet time has that amazing way, that lovely way of altering its flow, you know, so that it, something that took maybe a second at most to happen, in that moment I was able to you know, realize what it was that was happening. And then I realized, oh my God, you know, I'm dead now because there's no way out of this. And I realized also that it wasn't going to be painful. She was just going to break my neck when she landed on me, because they're, you know, up to 40, 50,000 pounds. It was like a bus landing on you.
And so you had this feeling where the whale was almost like hovering over you in
sense? Oh, absolutely. Like I was, my head was moving up, and all I could see was whale. I mean, the whale kept rising and rising out of the ocean, so like completely obliterating the sky, and I couldn't see anything else but this whale. And then I realized that I was dead, and I just, you know, I bowed my head, and I absolutely, completely surrendered my life. There was this moment of just utter expansive stillness. And so the next thing I remember, like, Perry saw the whale do this, like, heroic turning, twisting thing in the air. And the next thing I remember is massive sound and pressure, because the whale hit the kayak right behind me, like, right between Perry and myself. And then the pressure is being driven under the water by the force of the whale landing on us. And so I open my eyes, and thank God my body took a breath going over, because I don't know how many feet under the water, but I'm swimming up through all this swirling water, and I come up, and Perry pops up, and he had taken off his life jacket for me to sit on, and so we got the life jacket back on him, and the kayak, it broke in half and sank, and the two pieces washed ashore. About 4 days later, I was already back in Victoria, but my mom had gone down to stay on the same property that I was on, and the pieces came up. And where I was sitting, the front half, even though the whale landed behind me, the kayak actually broke exactly where I was sitting. So basically my sit bone was the fulcrum that kind of broke the kayak, because the energy of the whale landing couldn't, like, travel the whole length of it. So my spine, like, even though neither of us was bleeding, like, we weren't abraded by any of the barnacles. I mean, by some miracle of grace, we weren't bleeding in the sharky water, right? But my spine got twisted and compressed. And so there I was, 2 miles offshore. And I, fortunately, am a swimmer. You know, I was a competitive swimmer when I was young, and I work with concrete, so my upper body strength is really good. And so I was able to do backstroke. And Perry was amazing. He kept in my peripheral vision. And so I didn't want to feel alone out there. And so we just started swimming, you know, swimming and swimming, and my arms are going, my hands went numb, and I'm just thinking, you know, just keep your arms moving, you know, just keep them moving. And shock is just... it's such an amazing thing, because it absolutely focuses your attention on the task at hand.
So there was never that feeling of, we're never going to make it?
There were a couple of brief moments, because what happened, and I think it was partly the way the water was going, but we were so far offshore that it took a while before we could actually see that we were getting any closer. And Perry, as he admitted to me later, was afraid that we weren't going to make it, that the currents were pushing us out to the ocean, out to sea. But eventually it became clear that we were actually getting closer. And then the next problem is the fact that when we had left, the tide was low and the surf was low and everything was quite benign. But while we were out there, the tide had picked up and the surf was really, really big. And the way the currents were running, we should have been pushed towards the long sandy curve of Los Cerritos Beach, which for the most part is not really swimming water. Like there's a rocky point at one portion of it with a boutique hotel on top of it. And to the if you're out in the ocean, to the right of that is the surfing beach and the swimming beach, and the rest of Los Cerritos, which is a couple kilometers probably, it's quite a long beach, is sandy. It's a sandy landing, but it's very rippy. But we would have been able to handle the riptides. But what was happening instead to us is that we're getting pushed towards the rocks, and the waves are like massive and smashing on these rocks. And I'm up there, and we're bobbing up and down in these big swells now. And I'm saying to Perry, look, I'm not going to make that landing. I'm broken. I've been swimming for 2.5 hours. And I just don't see that I could possibly make that. And he's telling me not to worry. He'd been surfing those waters for about 8 months, and he was really at that point my only resource. And so I was believing him as best as I could. because you grasp onto whatever,
yes,
whatever is there available for you, right? But as we're getting closer, I'm really, there's just no way in hell that there's any navigating involved, that you can't just get through that. And so by now we're bobbing up and down, and I can see people on the balconies of the hotel, and I start screaming for help. I mean, not that they can actually do anything short of, getting a helicopter and dropping a line in, because we're that close to the shore now. But I just want someone to witness, that here I am and I might be dying here, and please, get my body home to my parents, right? I got my eyes scrunched tight because it's salt water, and I'm just swimming as hard as I can. And the next thing I hear is Perry yelling at me, "Stand up, stand up!" So I open my eyes, and he's a big guy, and he's standing in waves, and the waves are like sucking and smashing at him, and they're up to his mid thigh, and I can't stand, right? Because I'm quite injured and pretty hypothermic at that point. And so he hauls me out of the water, and anyways, I get out on the shore, and I collapse in this like shaking with early stages of hypothermia and just sobbing in relief at actually being on land. And some people came down from the hotel and got us up the cliff. And anyways, I made my way home, and I touched down in Victoria 10 minutes before midnight on New Year's Eve, actually.
What a moment to actually hit that dry land.
Oh, yeah. I was so thankful to be on shore again.
I can't even imagine.
I feel incredibly blessed. To have, and it's turned into the most amazing gift that I've ever received, I have
now,
to say.
How so?
Well, it's absolutely transformed my life, my sculptural work is largely about transformation anyways, the fact that things change is one of the only things that we can be absolutely certain of. Things are constantly changing at every single level. Right, and so many of us, I suppose it's partially because of the inevitability of that change. There's sort of an inherent lack of control in that, and that it frightens people, But for me, I see a certain beauty in that change, in that inevitability, and the vulnerability of that. And I like to capture kind of that edge of transformation, that liminal space, if you will, between what was and what is yet to be. And it seems to me that in that space, in that moment in between, the possibility of all things exists there.
That is so, like you say, reaching so deep there in such a deep symbolic level, and connecting with, in such a mysterious kind of way.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. I mean, it was completely life transformative.
What a story. What a new path, too. How fascinating. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's such a pleasure to talk to you.
And that is Victoria-based artist, sculptor, Birgit Piskor. And you can find a link to her website and look at some of her wonderful work. And I've got a link on the website at cbc.ca/nxnw.